GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Money Matters on your radio and behind the bulletproof glass over in Spacious Studio 7A from PFA, Penobscot Financial Advisors, where those fiscal-minded folks love to say...
Financial discretion advised.
Why, look, George, there's Jim Bradley sitting right there looking all handsome.
Yeah, he looks good. He's kind of, he's got that, relaxed, I'm going flying look on him.
Business casual.
Business casual. Looking just as handsome on the PD Cudor telephone line this morning from JT Hicks and Company, with locations all up and down the coast of Maine, where those fiscally minded folks love to say...
Keep more, pay less.
Tom Hicks, welcome back in as well to GHRT. In just a moment, gentlemen, we need to warn our listeners about the sharks on the land in the fiscal season with their scams, as we celebrate Shark Week and scam season all in one. But first, current events. Tom, you were looking at a report that said that the GDP is looking A-OK in Q2. Let's talk about the headlines. What are you looking at, Tom?
Well, our GDP grew in the last quarter, Q2, grew by 3%, which was considerably better than the first quarter, which we had a very minor contraction. So, you know, GDP grew, consumers are happier, jobs are down a little bit, so there's a bunch of things to talk about in this new report.
This is when I get to take Tom's role. Tom, I come in always half full with my glass, and Tom harshes my mellow telling me the other side of it, and a little bit of the opposite direction here. GDP grew, it was 3%, which is actually not a bad number historically as far as gross domestic product goes. When we measure GDP, we're just really measuring kind of the aggregate of everything that we put out there as far as goods and services in this country and how much it grew by. The subtitle there, though, is that it's following a dip in Q1, the first quarter, of 0.5%. Now, I've been kind of feeling a little bit glum on the economy thinking that we're in some kind of slight recessionary feel, or at least a vibe session, as we've talked about in the past. However, that 0.5 point dip in quarter one wasn't really due to a major slowdown in what we're producing domestically. What was the result of is the fact that we'd had a lot of imports come into the country in Q1. Why did we have a lot of imports come into the country in beginning of Q1? It's because everybody was anticipating the tariffs and wanting to get ahead of them by importing as much as they could before then. So Q2's bump there, really the result of just a little bit of a rebound from Q1 and a slowdown in those imports.
Even as we're watching that, Tom, it appears that consumers, you, me, him, her, those of us that spend money for products and services, we're feeling a little bit better about what's going on?
Yeah, you know, consumer confidence and sentiment, continue to climb, into July and recovering from, lows in April, et cetera. So, consumer spending is really the largest part of our economy, right? So, and this just encompasses so many things. And you would think I would expect maybe sentiment to be up a little bit in, June, July, and August, because these are our sort of most popular months, aren't they? Aside from maybe the holidays, it's vacation time. And so we're spending money on, more on, gasoline, on hotels and eating out in restaurants and, other experiences. So, when consumer confidence is not so good, then we see the other side of that and say a slowdown in spending and, things like that that cause other ripple effects elsewhere, in the economy. So, it seems like we're a little happier.
I see things that say, boy, people are out there spending money. I mean, they're going to concerts and paying incredible amounts of money to get in. They were scalping tickets. They sold $100,000 to a baseball game at a sports car track. And then I see the interviews on TV with people saying, I'm cutting back. I can't make this. What the heck is the truth?
The truth, I guess, is mixed because, you know, we look at things like gas prices right now and they're, you know, up a tick or two from a couple weeks ago. But realistically, if you look at them relative to last big travel season, they're looking relatively affordable. And I think a lot of that is what kicks into people's psyche when it comes to how much they're willing to kick out. And also, frankly, the markets have done relatively well over the past couple months following the quote-unquote Liberation Day decline and ignoring last week. They really had a chance to kind of melt upward. And when people see their 401ks doing okay, when they see the gas prices on the corner not spiking up to crazy levels, and they can be distracted by a lot of other things, that's when we can see a situation where people are going to be relatively chill and relatively happy about what they're seeing economically. And that's going to lead them to maybe kick out a little bit more money for experiences and goods.
I want to hit a couple more points with the money men and current events. And Tom, I want to jump to what didn't happen last week. The president wanted it to happen so more Americans could start to embrace the American dream. The Fed didn't cut the benchmark rate. But after some of the numbers now, there's some thought that, well, maybe something might happen, but it won't happen until September.
Yeah, we've kind of been hoping for sort of Christmas in July, in a manner of speaking. The president's been pushing Jerome Powell very hard, as we all know from, you know, watching the evening news, to, you know, cut rates so that it will spur the economy, I guess, and, you know, is part of his plan. But, you know, the Feds did nothing. There was no change in the rate. Now it seems like experts are saying, well, with this new information, you know, the Fed will be compelled to do something. And some experts are saying that might happen in September. And others are saying, no, it'll be later in the year. It'll be at the December meeting. So it's really, of course, anybody's guess as to what the Fed is going to do. But it seems like there might be enough evidence now with slowing jobs and an increase in inflation that they might be compelled, you know, to make some kind of a cut in the federal rate.
The U.S. added 73,000 jobs in July, well below the projections, revisions in April, and job gains also brought the numbers down. So we get the president upset, and he fires the messenger. What is the story here? Don't bring me numbers I don't like.
I suppose, or you know, because she was plenty fine doing a great job when the numbers were looking good. But yeah, there's 2,000 people I think out there that work for the Bureau of Labor Statistics and put these numbers together. It's kind of the messenger at the top that gets the bad rap when the numbers aren't what they wanted. But yeah, when we look at what the Fed is looking at, to kind of carry on to Tom's point and why they're not lowering interest rates right off the bat, keep in mind, again, they have a what we call dual mandate. They have to do two things. They have to keep prices stable and they have to keep employment up. And sometimes, you know, cutting rates at a time like this might help to boost a sagging jobs market. And there's more and more indication that maybe it is sagging. But at the same time, cutting rates can also be an inflationary thing. And if inflation's starting to catch fire already, history is littered with the bodies of Fed presidents who have prematurely lowered interest rates and started financial catastrophes by kicking up inflation. So they see that. They definitely don't want to move too quickly. But I think that more and more of a case is being made as we see these job numbers coming in a little bit more soft than we had seen before, that there's likely to be a cut. Right now, markets are pricing in pretty much a 100% probability of 0.5% of a cut between now and the end of the year.
Now, it should be pointed out that we talked of this same person and this revision last pre-election. The craziest job revision positive in the history of job revisions. Same person. We're talking with the Money Men on the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Tom Hicks is on the PD Cudor telephone line and also in our studio. Do not go back in the water is Jim Bradley. It's Shark Week, but it's also scam season. And we're going to start with you on this, Jim Bradley, and buyer beware, right?
We've got a long list of common financial sharks to look out for. Don't go in the water. Didn't they close a beach in Maine this weekend?
Oh, they're looking at sharks everywhere now. I think there was one up in Moosehead.
So there are some that, you know, you have to go into the water to encounter, and there's some that you can encounter sitting right on the beach. We'll start kind of hammer out as many of them as we can. One is payday loans. Those are quite often used by people. I always make the comment, you know, it's really, really expensive to be poor. Really expensive to be broke. And this is one of the things that really preys on people who can hardly, you know, make it through, and they're needing more money before their paycheck gets there. So they pledge their paycheck in order to get a quick short-term loan. These marketed payday loans can carry, you know, they do a quick fix perhaps, but they carry in annual interest rates quite often that measure up to over 400% annually. And I mean, Tony Soprano would blush at that kind of of an interest rate.
Fade to Tom Hicks, what do you think?
Yeah, there's no benefit to this, and it preys on, you know, the most, you know, vulnerable part of our economy, which is, you know, low income, you know, earners that are desperate for, you know, to solve some kind of a short term problem. And this kind of also feeds into, you know, auto title loans. Like, you know, you walk into one of these shops and you happen to own your car outright and you need, you know, 500 or $1,000, whatever it is, to maybe fix something for the car. And you miss a payment and suddenly, you know, your car is being hoisted onto the back of a wrecker and because it's being, you know, repossessed. And these two also come with very, very high effective, you know, interest rates because of fees and other things that these sort of predatory companies charge, you know, on top of whatever the interest is.
The one that I have been watching on TV is Sell Us Your Insurance.
Oh, yeah.
You're sitting on $1 million.
Yep.
And you're still alive.
Right.
Sell it to us.
Yeah, and that can, you know, depending upon the individual and their circumstances, may be appropriate, may not be appropriate, but it's certainly heavily marketed, so you know that there's some margin to be made in it. And also things, you know, we call zombie debt collectors, subscription traps, classic scams. Before, you know, getting toward the end of this segment, I want to make sure I share one thing because I've been seeing it more and more as far as scams go. It's something called pig butchering. And we ran into this. The relative of one of our advisors has been hooked on this little fish trap here. It's where a situation comes up. You get those texts every once in a while that say, hey, what about our dinner Tuesday afternoon? It's coming from somebody that you never met before, and you wonder, why do I get these things? First of all, hit the delete and report junk button. If you don't have a history of texting with somebody, don't get back to them. Mm-hmm. Quite often, these are pig butchering scams is what we're starting to get into. What happens is you strike up a conversation. The conversation is with someone, quite often quite a lovely person, often from the opposite sex, who might be even romantic with you, and is trying to get you to join them in this great investment thing that they're doing. And the investment thing turns out to be not really real. The investment thing also turns out once you've been fattened up by this person to get more and more money out there, then they levy this thing on you. And in order to get your money back, you got to pay a whole bunch for taxes, and they fleece you completely at that point.
Pig butchering.
Pig butchering is what it's called. I just learned about it, and people have to know.
And you'll be the little pig going wee, wee, wee all the way to the poorhouse if you do that. The Money Men with insight into current events and also Shark Week, meeting scam season. Fins to the left and fins to the right. It's Jim Bradley and Tom Hicks on GHRT. GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.